Titled my message this morning, and everything, give thanks. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18 says exactly that. Praise the Lord. I turn to Ephesians. Isn't that funny? Praise the Lord. 1 Thessalonians 5, 18 reads, in everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. If you will stand to your feet one more time as we pray and ask the Lord's blessing upon this word this morning. Father, we thank you and praise you and do give you all the glory and the honor. Lord God, we pray that you would continue to move by the power of your Spirit and that you would bless each and every one, Lord. Therefore, as we do always ask, we are asking this morning that you would grant us eyes that see, ears that hear, and a heart that understands. And we, oh God, will give you all the glory and all the honor and all the praise that we might not only have the will to, but the enabling grace for the to-do of thy good pleasure. And Lord God, we will be forever grateful. In Jesus' name, we do pray. We ask for the anointing of thy Spirit, I say again, to be our continued portion, that, Lord God, we will go from the house today rejoicing and being grateful and thanking God for every blessing, for every mercy, and for every grace. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen and amen and amen. Bless the anointing upon me, Lord. Let thy word flow unhindered. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. In everything, give thanks. A familiar passage of Scripture, though not often recognized as the command it is. For immediately following, we are told, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Clearly, it is indeed a command from God that we give thanks to Him in every season of life. Spring, summer, fall, and winter, depicting the many seasons of spiritual life we travel as we go this way with Him. Ecclesiastes 3 verses 1 through 8 surely gives us a beautiful picture of this truth. Amen. And we're going to read that passage of Scripture in a little bit. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Now, what we're going to do this morning is we're going to break this passage down and examine word by word and phrase by phrase to see exactly, just exactly what the Lord is saying to us. Amen. Line upon line, precept upon precept, a little here, a little there. Amen? Amen. Okay, number one, we see as this, as we examine this particular passage of Scripture, that it says in everything. And the word in, we don't want to labor over this too much. And you would think, well, why do we even need to discuss the word in? Because I want you to understand what the Holy Spirit is saying to us. So we'll examine the word in. And this word means during, as involved in the situation, the circumstance, the trial, the trouble, the difficulty, the hardship, in the deep of it, in the deep of a trial or test, before coming out on the other side, while in, during, in the midst of it, in the thick of it, we are to give thanks unto the Lord. So that we understand what God is speaking to us is not that we will then thank and praise Him, though we do when we come on the other, out on the other side of negative circumstances and situations that we go through in this life, persecutions and trials and troubles. But in everything, in the thick of it, in the midst of it, while we're going through it, as we're traveling our way, we are to give thanks unto God. Amen. It is right and it is proper and it is just and it is what God has called us to do. And in fact, He has commanded us that we are in everything to give Him thanks. And you know, a lot of time we preachers qualify that or try to qualify it a little bit. And we say, well, you know, we're not necessarily to thank God for everything, but that in everything we give thanks. But the truth of the matter is that we who belong to the Lord know that nothing touches us that it doesn't first come through the blood. So whatever it is, however the wind blows, whatever the Lord allows to come our way, eventually we will get to the place where we will thank Him for the dry days. We will thank Him for the hardship. We will thank Him for the difficulties that are come our way, not because of sin necessarily, but as He has helped us. In other words, well, I thank you, God, that I sinned so bad, because if I didn't sin so bad, you know, we're not saying that. We're talking about in our journey, walking on with the Lord, that we're thanking Him for these things, because we know that we would never know Him the way that we do after that situation if it were not for what He allowed to come our way. You know, Paul talked about that they were in such a situation that they feared unto death. He says, but God allowed it to teach us to trust Him who causes the dead to come to life. So he thanked Him for the situation. And many times we preachers will say that because we want to try to make a little more palpable to you and to your taste the fact that we are to thank God no matter what's going on. And as I said, in every situation in life. Amen. Far too many times we refuse to obey the injunction and give thanks to God while the sky is dark and no glimmer of light can be seen. Only when the day star dawns bright upon our situation or upon our path can we muster a praise if we do that. But Ecclesiastes 3 verses 1 through 8 makes it perfectly clear, in every season there is a purpose. And we're going to turn there now, if you will find in your Bibles, Ecclesiastes chapter 3 verses 1 through 8. King James Version, reads like this. To everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under the heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to get and a time to lose. A time to keep and a time to cast away. A time to rend and a time to sow. A time to keep silence and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time of war and a time of peace. I will say again that this passage of Scripture makes it perfectly clear that in every season there is a purpose. Amen? Now this morning, child of God, will you determine in your heart to praise Him in the midst of the drear as well as in the sunlit skies and while romping meadows fair? Will you choose in your heart that no matter what the circumstance you find yourself in, that you will pray and ask God to remind you that in everything we are to give thanks unto God, because this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning each and every one of us. Though the road may be steep and rough, yet in everything give thanks. Amen. Praise the Lord. Psalm 42. Verses 5 and then 6 through 11, we read the psalmist who knew such depths in his heart and such heights of joy. David, the sweet singer of Israel, declares, Oh my God. Well, where do I want to start? Verse 5, excuse me. Why art thou cast down? Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. And this was written by the chief musician, excuse me, not David, for the sons of Korah. Why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore will I remember thee from the land of Jordan and of the Hermonites, I'm from the hill of Mizar. Verses 7 says, deep calleth unto deep at the noise of the dust. This is a situation where there is anything but quiet or a peaceful point of view or a peaceful situation occurring. Deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy waterspouts. It says in the Amplified, I believe, at the roaring of the waves. All thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime and in the night. His song shall be with me and my prayer unto the God of my life. This is so key. That in this situation, I know his song shall come to me in the night seasons and my prayer will I lift up to him and maintaining a grateful and a thankful heart. Yet the Lord will command, I'll read it again, his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me. And my prayer unto the God of my life, I will say unto God my rock, why hast thou forsaken me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a sword in my bones, mine enemies reproach me, while they say daily unto me, where is thy God? This is persecution coming from without and from within. We see such a breadth of experience and of emotion taking place here. Why art thou cast down? Him who is the health of my countenance and my God. Psalm 43, judge me, O God, and plead my cause against an ungodly nation. O deliver me from the deceitful and unjust man. For thou art the God of my strength. Why dost thou cast me off? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? O send out thy light and thy truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me into thy holy hill, into thy tabernacles. Then will I go unto the altar of God, unto God my exceeding joy. Yea, upon the harp will I praise thee, O my God. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God. And we see here that as we look, as I said, the breadth of experience, the depth of emotion, we see the hope in my God who is the health of my countenance. In other words, in everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Now, just because, well, we'll say, well, for kicks and giggles, we'll know. Just because I think that's what we need to say. Does anyone not understand the word everything? In everything. We're trying to lay the picture out here real nice and clear so everybody can see it, so that there won't be the temptation, or you won't give yourself the license or make room or give occasion to say, well, surely God shouldn't be asking me to give thanks for him in this. But the scripture says in everything, 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 everything. The word encompasses all seasons of life. Making light of your experience or your trial or the difficulties that you go through, just like I don't make light of what I have to go through and what I endure. When I'm suffering or when you're suffering, we like to compare our suffering and say your suffering isn't as deep as my suffering, because only the heart knows its own sorrow. It says in Proverbs. So that which we go through, for each and every one of us, can't be taken light by anybody else. Because only the heart knows its own sorrow. Any attack of the enemy, through hardships, sickness, loss, in relationship difficulties, in finances. When we have something come from some quarter never heard of before and never thought it would come. When we're having difficulties and we're carrying around the grief that children can bring. And the struggles of this life. And, you know, you're dealing with a rotten job and an even worse boss and miserable, contentious co-workers. And, you know, we can go right down the line. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. And trouble is to man as the sparks fly upward, the Bible tells us. But in everything, we are to give thanks. Every event known to human experience, we as born again children of God are to give thanks unto our God. Psalm 45:1 says, my heart overflows. Betty Ryder. Oh, church, this is showing us the pen of a ready writer. What happens with a pen? And, you know, it was so beautiful as I sat and was writing this out last night, how the Lord showed me a writer, an author. And in particular, the pen of a godly man inspired by the Holy Spirit writing the words. That pen, not determined to say anything of its own, is the pen of a ready writer, indicting a goodly theme, giving praise and glory and honor unto our God. We, like the pen in the master's hand, should flow with praise and thanksgiving unto our God in everything. Praise the Lord. What a beautiful, beautiful picture. The pen used to bring forth what the writer demands, so we are readily to give forth praise and thanksgiving unto our God who is worthy. Our circumstances to cause you to hang your harp on the willow. You can't allow the persecution that will come from within and from without, from those in your family and from those in the world. You can't allow anything that the enemy orchestrates. You can't allow any situation to cause you to hang your harp on the willow. I have told you that that doesn't necessarily mean that you're running around with some silly, sappy smile on your face and denying that you're going to thank and praise him, even if, like I did, you're crawling on your hands and knees in your situation from room to room, so grieved and so broken in your heart that with every breath the pain is staggering, yet you will slip up a hand and you will declare to him, but you're God, but you're worthy. And with my last breath, I will praise thee, though my heart is breaking. With all that is with, will give thanks unto thee for every mercy, for every thought you've ever had for me, for every care that you have ever shown me. I will give thanks unto my God. We cannot allow circumstances to cause us to hang our harp on the willow. And why should we let negative circumstances silence our song? Why should we let anything that the enemy can orchestrate, any machination of the enemy, cause us to pull away from and withdraw our... When you begin to hear negativity and murmuring and grumbling and accusations against God and accusations against others, you better know that this is not the Spirit of God. In everything, give thanks. Do you remember what it says in Colossians chapter 3, verse 16? It says, let the word of Christ dwell richly within you. Let the word of God dwell richly in you. In everything, give thanks with all wisdom, understanding the blessing and the benefit by obeying that command of the Lord that it will bring to your life. It is the health of my countenance. Flat tell you. I'm tired of looking at you like this. Man, it's discouraging. It takes the heart right out of me. I'm not preaching this because it's not something that doesn't need to be heard. I come in here, I'm ready to praise and worship the Lord. Hey, I go through things too. There's difficulties knocking on my door. Got another bag of sand for you. But God is still worthy. And we run to Him. And we lay all these things at His feet. Let the word of God dwell richly in you in all wisdom. Listen, teaching and grace in your hearts to the Lord. So you see that we're told that as we are giving thanks unto the Lord and we're praising Him and we're worshiping Him and we're singing that it edifies and blesses one another. I feed off of you, you feed off of me. When I'm praising the Lord and I'm in His presence and you're seeing that and you're getting the overflow of the anointing, so too when you're out here and you're praising the Lord, that your brother next to you is going to be encouraged to praise the Lord. And then when spark is jumping from person to person to person, and before you know it, Matt, you shouldn't leave that there. Before you know it, the whole place is going to be lit up. And the fire and the anointing and the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen? And this is what we are to do. Because God is worthy. And you can be stubborn and unyielding and hard-hearted. Yeah. You may not get blessed. You probably won't. But then you'll have to give an account to the Lord for quenching the Holy Spirit. Because we're told in this same passage of scripture in 1 Thessalonians 5, quench not the Spirit. And when you will quench the Spirit in your own heart, how far you're going to let yourself go down that path of personal spiritual apostasy. I'm not just fussing because I like to fuss. Because I understand the danger, the imminent danger. The path that you choose to take when you refuse to obey the command, in everything give thanks. If there is an oppression, the Bible says, is there any afflicted? Come! It says, let them sing songs, doesn't it, in James? Thank you. I said, do I need to turn to it and read it? Is there any afflicted? Then let him sing songs. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let us give thanks unto the Lord. Using wisdom, understanding that it is the health of my... I wonder if there's any question concerning that phrase. Word for word. In everything, give thanks. The Amplified says, thank God in everything, no matter what the circumstances may be. Be thankful and give thanks. No matter what happens or how negative things seem to be, give command. Rejoice evermore. Rejoice evermore. We find it in Philippians. We find again and again that the scripture tells us to rejoice. Why? Because with joy you draw water from the wells of salvation. It is health to my countenance. Pick up one foot and put it beside the other one. It is going to revive you and bring health to your spiritual self and to your physical body. And I might add as well to your mental health. Out the word in the Greek. It means to be grateful, i.e. act. Act is a verb. Act means that there is a demanding of action. There's some kind of activity. It goes on to say, to express gratitude towards, as when one gives thanks at a meal. Now, you can't give thanks if you're not the scripture that my tongue is the pen of a ready writer, indicting a goodly theme, which is the Lord our God, who is worthy of all glory and honor and praise. It requires action on our part. Now, this word comes from another Greek word that is found in Ephesians. Thank you, Lord. I'm a little punchy this morning. I got to sleep sometime after 4 o'clock this morning. And the Lord woke me up a little bit before 8. And I was so punchy that when I got up and was walking, I was literally staggering. I was up walking around almost at 4 o'clock, and I was walking around like this. I can't believe I get up. I was so frustrated. You know, this is what, like the third time this week. The other night, Brother Matthew went to go to work. I shouldn't say to go to work, and, you know, was talking to him. My light didn't go out all night long. So finally, after he left, then I went to sleep, and then I did sleep for about 4 or 5 hours, which I'm very grateful for. So I'm a tad bit punchy this morning, but I think I'm still doing all right. The Holy Ghost is helping me. Amen. Praise the Lord. The scripture says, well, he's talking about, let's look at verse 1. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet. When we will give thanks in everything, when we will worship our God and praise him, that we are offering a sacrifice of praise and thanks unto God that is a sweet savor unto the Lord. It is a fragrance like none other in the nostrils of God. Well-pleasing and delightful as an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. When we will move ourselves and offer ourselves to God in everything, no matter what we're going through, and give him thanksgiving and praise, I'm telling you again, it is a sweet-smelling savor unto the Lord. Now, he begins to lay out things that ought not to be in immodesty and immorality or indecent speaking of any kind, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient. In other words, completely out of the character for a child of God. Listen. I'm no dummy here. Too many times there is foolish talking going on rather than the giving of thanks to the Lord. And that foolish talking comes in the form of murmuring and grumbling and complaining and contending. Shouldn't be the behavior of a born-again child of God. It's not convenient. You're not in the image of your Father, your Heavenly Father, when such is going on. But rather, we'll allow our hearts to sink in despair that is the very voice of faithlessness, destitute of any gracious feeling or emotion that we talked about comes from. This is the root word, and it means gratitude. Again, act grateful. Isn't that beautiful? Grateful language to God. As an act of worship, thankfulness, the giving of thanks. In everything, give thanks. One commentator says, God, by the gift of his Son, has laid us under the obligation of perpetual thanksgiving. I'm going to read that again. The God, by the gift of his Son, has laid us under the obligation of perpetual thanksgiving. Our whole lives ought to be one continual thank offering for all the blessings of redemption. You need that. I don't have anything to be grateful for. God hasn't been good to me. I don't have this. I don't have that. I don't. When you are, by your profession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, if you have truly come to know him and given yourself to him, or the possessor of eternal life, you We are under the obligation then to be thankful and grateful and to praise our God. Well, you don't know what I'm going through. You don't know what I've suffered. Well, I'm that in everything that He is with us. And if He tells us in everything to give thanks, then I know that He will enable us to do so. And that if we will do that, that no matter what is going on and how the devil is trying to tear us down and to destroy us physically, emotionally, and spiritually, it will be. Yes, let the Word of God dwell, or let the Word of Christ, Colossians says, dwell in you richly with all wisdom. Hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to us this morning, church. This is beautiful. Dagger, and we stumble and we fall through all the difficulties of life. We have to remember in everything to give thanks. No matter what problem, compared to the depths of the dismal dwelling that the devil would put you in. Oh, church, quickly, do you remember? And they were traveling and on the heels of a great victory where the Lord had delivered them from one of the ites that were possessors of the area and the territory where they were traveling on their way through. It says in the scripture in Numbers 21 that the children of Israel began to murmur and complain and contend with God. There was no water. There was no bread. Manna from heaven that fell because they wanted and they were covetous for that which they had left behind. And its scripture says that they murmured against God and they grumbled that when they were bitten, they became sick and they died. But God had an answer. And the Lord told Moses, take a serpent and put it upon the pole, upon a rod. And whosoever looketh upon that serpent, once he has, it means a steady, steadfast, thorough gaze upon. And whosoever looketh upon that serpent shall live. It was a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ and Him being lifted up for the sin of man, healed of every sin and sickness and every disease that afflict him. As always, you've got to understand, as we're looking unto Jesus, He is the healer of all that Christ Jesus. What I'm telling you, that as you will give thanks unto the Lord, in effect, will be that you are looking unto Jesus. And when you gaze upon Him, you can't help but have that healing flow through your body, looking unto Him, opening your heart and giving to Him the favor, the blessing, the love, the gratitude of all your heart. Yeah. Murmuring and grumbling, the giving of thanks. It will be the health of your countenance. Amen. All right. Last phrase that we're going to look at this morning. It's the rest of this verse that says to God for His every and many and varied blessings, mercy and grace. For this, the giving of thanks to God for present tense is, in other words, ongoing. We are never to not be thankful, or are we never to not express our thankfulness and our gratitude. For this, the giving of thanks is God, God our Savior, God the maker and creator of all the universe, God who said that the world was and it was, and who called forth light and who breathed breath into the nostrils of man and He became a living soul. God who says that it is and it is Christ Jesus again. For all those that are born again and walking in faith in Christ, it means those who are professors of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, every born again child of them accountable for their ungrateful attitude. Because they refuse to see, it's a willful not knowing the will of God in Christ Jesus. Personal responsibility. Personal responsibility. You cannot offer to God the gratitude and the thankfulness that can only come from your heart to Him, to bless His soul, whereby you are benefited. I can thank God and bless Him for you and your life, but I will receive the benefit from it. You won't. Because as I give thanks unto God, in the sense that giving Him the gratitude and the thankfulness that should and in fact must be coming from you. Period. So suffice it to say that as we look at this, we understand in this phrase exactly what it is that the Holy Spirit by inspiration has put to us through to give Him thanks, because it is the will of God for each and every one of us to do so. Amen? Personal accountability and responsibility. Now we've touched upon this a tad bit. Why be thankful? Why does God tell us to be thankful? Well, I've touched quite a bit on it when I talked about what the psalmist declared, because he says it was the health of his countenance. Rest in what the psalmist says there. We hear Christian catchphrases and buzzwords all the time. Like, praise the Lord. With such ease. But I wonder, do we consider what we are saying? Have we lost feeling the adoration, the thankfulness and the gratefulness that ought to be there? The awe of His goodness. Romans 1:21. Start at verse 18. We'll try it there. Pick up there. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. For God hath shown it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. And all that has an excuse for not believing in Him. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, and neither have we forgotten the meaning that is to be behind the hallelujahs. Though He has so revealed Himself to the world that they were not thankful for who He is and for all He has done. How much more do you suppose we, children of God, should be thankful? Everything that hath breath, praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Psalm 100, verse 4. Thank you, Jesus. The Lord with gladness, come before His presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations. Colossians 3:15, we are told, and be ye thankful. Chronicles chapter His name. Praise the Lord, to give thanks. So we understand and we perceive to be not thankful is a serious indictment in God's sight, to have tasted such goodness and such love and such mercy from the Lord. So why be thankful? Jonah chapter 2, verse 9, if you will, after Obadiah, Jonah chapter 2. And this story, this is where God had called Jonah to Nineveh to preach the gospel. And Jonah didn't want to go because he wanted to. And he jumped ship and he went to Tarshish, and God caused a great storm. And He gave wisdom to the people to know that the storm was there because of Jonah. And chapter 2, then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly. and said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me, and out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. I would imagine floods compassed me about, all thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. The waters compassed me about, even to the soul, through the depths. Though the depth, yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. Listen, verse 7. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord. And my prayer came in unto thee, into thine holy temple. Thou, with the voice of thanksgiving, I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. Verse 10. And the number one, why be thankful? Because even in the midst of willful rebellion against God, if you will turn your prayer on, even out of the belly of hell, so to speak, in your situation. For that, O God, is the health of my countenance. Hallelujah. Walk to him again as you pray and as you offer him thanks for his mercy and his goodness and for who he is. He will deliver you. That's why we are thankful. He will deliver us. Number two, why be thankful? Because the anointing breaks the yoke of bondage. Isaiah chapter 10, in that day, that his burden shall be taken away from off thy shoulder, the burden of the enemy and of sin, and his yoke from off thy neck, and the yoke shall be destroyed. When the enemy will try to oppress us, when he will try to bring us down, when there's attacks and there's affliction, and there's that which comes against us, living for him, that the enemy will come against us the way he does, the Bible says the anointing will break the yoke of bondage. And church, this is why again and again and again I have with much indignation why I told you if you will not come underneath the anointing and praise and worship God, because the anointing breaks the yoke of bondage. I refuse to come into God's presence and give thanks and worship him, then I am under no obligation to preach the word. Praise the Lord. We want to welcome him. We want to invite him. We want to lift up the name of Jesus. We want to experience his presence. We want the move of the Holy Ghost. You come in here depressed, and you come in here discouraged, and you come in here and you don't know which way to turn. If you will lift up your heart and your hands, and if you will give thanks and be thankful, the anointing will break it. Hallelujah. Because why be thankful? Because the anointing breaks the yoke of bondage. Hallelujah. Oh. Off the lethargy, to shake off the opposition, to dig a well and to come into the presence of the Lord, because then God can move for you and he will bless you. He will. Yeah. And the devil will fight because he knows the truth of God. Because he doesn't want you to walk out of this place free. He wants to use you to bind up this place. Yes. That's right. And do nothing for an ungrateful heart. Right. Reminding you, the scripture says that by his goodness to us, he draws us to repent. Oh, Lord, forgive. Oh, God, that we have been unthankful and we have not been grateful. And we have not truly from the fruit of our lips offered thee praise, but only perfunctorily, only religiously, Lord. God, I ask for thy mercy in Jesus' name that thou wouldest forgive us, even as if it came from my heart and not yours. Oh, God, though I thank God, my heart beats as thine, O Lord. Where you are desirous to break the shackles, to come out from underneath the oppression of the flesh and of the devil, and offer thanks because the anointing breaks the yoke up, bound, destroyed to his purpose. thankful. For this is the will of God. It is His commandment for each and every one of us who profess faith. Of the Lord and despise the blessings that He has for us. When did it come to this place? And how? Of bondage. Number three, why be thankful? Philippians 4. Moved out of His place that we would in any wise do despite unto the Spirit of grace. Read a story. Catherine Coleman tells a story standing outside of a department store where she was shopping. Miss, will you buy a candy bar? And she asked him, what kind of candy bars are you selling? Chocolate candy bars. And then the little boy recognized who she was. And the other little boy come running over. And he said, you know what? And she said, what? He said, God did a miracle for me. She said, He did. Tell me about it. He gave me my quarter. Now, to someone else, that might not be much to be in the hospital and is dying of cancer. That quarter might not seem much. Blessing, small or large, that comes from God, we are to be thankful and grateful for. When we can feel the sunlight on our face, our heart beats. He gives us the strength to get up in the morning. He gives us a jaw. And we have something to praise Him for and be grateful. Grateful language is the one who gets healed from cancer. Because it was the attitude of gratitude that was in the heart. Philippians 4 is full of anxiety. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanks. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Dark thoughts and complaints and murmuring and grumbling and contending, God Himself will fill our heart and our minds with peace. That as far as the world, peace like you, and our minds have such rest in your spirit. Because with acknowledging to God, they are being thankful will bring peace and rest to your heart like nothing else. And it will bring the presence of God over your heart and mind. That means He's right there on the scene with you. Where there is no anxiety. There is no turmoil. There is no doubt. So when we look at this, we actually see four things as to why we need to be thankful. Because it will deliver us even from our own fault. Get my point. It was His own fault. But when He was thankful and turned, God delivered him. Number two, the anointing breaks the yoke of bondage. Number three, the health of our countenance. Amen? Amen. So I'm going to ask you this morning in conclusion, an attitude of gratitude, or are you give thanks? And I want you to take your victory press. And I want you to look at the back of it. And as you do, I want you to stand to your feet because we're going to do a congregation. God. In Christ Jesus, we who are born again, children of God, concerning you. So that I can breathe. Right. Praise the Lord. An attitude of gratitude or to be delivered like Jonah.
Yes.
Are you in bondage? Have you no peace of mind? Well, I will ask this. Can it be traced to not giving thanks? that the Word of God clearly tells us, and be ye thankful. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, because if you don't raise your hand, I'm not going to be able to deal with it. Because at this point in time, I can't handle any spirit of pride. But what I'd like you to do is that you bow your head about your heart. Yes. And where you have failed to be thankful. And what you do and what you say and how you act. Morning, you are determined to turn from that. Yes. And having been buoyed up by the for all the blessings of redemption. In Jesus' name. And please don't qualify that. And I'm not grateful for this, and I'm not grateful for that. But I urge you to obey the things of redemption. Father, in the name of Jesus, as we stand before you this morning, we ask you that this is in some way not valid. That taking place in this little church this morning really doesn't make any difference as far as anything is concerned on the whole face of the earth. Well, I beg to differ. In Jesus' name. Of all stubbornness and excuses and all willfulness, submit ourselves to thee. And Lord God, we ask you to forgive us. Where I, Lord God, from this moment, I purpose and determine to be thankful, yes, and grateful, and so freely in Jesus' name. Father, we pray and ask by the power of your Spirit that you would, oh God, and be thankful. Each one of us, no matter what anybody else does, what they don't do. Amen. Amen. And amen. Amen. And amen. Praise the Lord. Out of the belly of hell, so to speak, in your situation. For that, O God, is the health of my countenance. Hallelujah. Why be thankful? Because God will deliver you, even though it's your own fault, out of the direst situation, as you seek him, as you turn to him again, as you pray, and as you offer him thanks for his mercy and his goodness and for who he is, he will deliver you. That's why we are thankful. It is the health of our countenance, and it will bring deliverance from the oppression of the enemy, even though it's our own fault. He will deliver us. Number two, why be thankful? Because the anointing breaks the yoke of bondage. Isaiah chapter 10, verse 27. Thank you, Jesus. And it shall come to pass in that day that his burden shall be taken away from off thy shoulder, the burden of the enemy and of sin, and his yoke from off thy neck, and the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. When we will give thanks and praise unto God, we as born again children of God, when the enemy will try to oppress us, when he will try to bring us down, when there's attacks and there's affliction and there's that which comes against us, and it's certainly not of our own making, but simply because we love the Lord and we're trying to live for him, and many times it's because we love the Lord and are living for him that the enemy will come against us the way he does. The Bible says the anointing will break the yoke of bondage. And church, this is why again and again and again I have with much indignation why I told you last Sunday, or well, I guess it was last Sunday, go home. Because I will not try to bring forth the word of God if you will not come underneath the anointing and praise and worship God, because the anointing breaks the yoke of bondage. I stood in this pulpit when I first took this pulpit and told you that I refused to bring forth the word of God before I had brought you into the presence of the Lord. And if you refuse to come into God's presence and give thanks and worship Him, then I am under no obligation to preach the word. Because the anointing breaks the yoke. Oh, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We want to welcome Him. We want to invite Him. We want to lift up the name of Jesus. We want to experience His presence. We want the move of the Holy Ghost flowing through us. Oh my God, because the anointing breaks the yoke of bondage. And if you come in here heavy, and you come in here burdened, and you come in here depressed, and you come in here discouraged, and you come in here and you don't know which way to turn, if you will lift up your heart and your hands, and if you will give thanks and be thankful, the anointing will break the yoke of bondage right off of you, and you'll walk out of here totally different, free, and moving in the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah! Because, why be thankful? Because the anointing breaks the yoke of bondage. Hallelujah! Oh. And I will say again, that's why from the deep of me, I urge you to shake off the lethargy, to shake off the opposition, to dig a well, and to come into the presence of the Lord, because then God can move for you, and He will bless you. He will set you free. He will break the yoke of bondage. He will deliver you, and it will be the health of thy countenance. Hallelujah! Yeah! And the devil will fight, because he knows the truth of God's word. And he will bind up your mind, and he will bind up your heart, and he will bind up your spirit if he can, because he doesn't want you to walk out of this place free. He wants to use you to bind up this place. Yes,
that's right. Huh.
That's true. Church, God can do nothing for an ungrateful heart. Reminding you, the scripture says that by His goodness to us, He draws us to repentance. And everyone who has been in this church for any length of time knows the goodness. Oh, Lord, forgive us. I asked of Thee, O God, that in Thy mercy that You would forgive that we have quenched Thy Spirit. Forgive us, O God, that we have been unthankful and we have not been grateful. And we have not truly from the fruit of our lips offered Thee praise, but only perfunctorily, only religiously, Lord God. I ask for Thy mercy in Jesus' name that Thou wouldest forgive us. Even as You spoke to us that word, not one soul, Father, said one thing about that word that You spoke. As if it came from my heart and not Yours. Oh God, though I thank God my heart beats as Thine, O Lord. Forgive us, I pray. In Jesus' name, You have got to come to the place where You are desirous to break the shackles, to come out from underneath the oppression of the flesh and of the devil. And offer thanks because the anointing breaks the yoke of bondage. Can you be content? Can you really be content to sit with that burden? Chained up, bound, destroyed to His purpose. Because you will not be thankful. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Amen. and be ye thankful. For this is the will of God. It is his commandment for each and every one of us who profess faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. When did worship become a burden? When did being thankful, did we sniff at the table of the Lord and despise the blessings that he has for us? When did it come to this place? And how? The anointing breaks the yoke of bondage. Number three, why be thankful? Philippians 4. My heart trembles and is moved out of its place that we would in any wise do despite unto the Spirit of grace and not be thankful. Oh, God. Read a story comparing what one miracle is to one, and what another miracle is to another. Catherine Coleman tells a story standing outside of a department store where she was shopping with some little boys standing outside, and they were selling candy bars. And the little boy ran up to Catherine and he said, ma'am, or miss, will you buy a candy bar? And she asked him, what kind of candy bars are you selling? Chocolate candy bars. And then the little boy recognized who she was. And his little friend that was with him, he said, we'll say his name is Tommy. I don't remember. Hey, Tommy, look, it's that miracle lady. It's that miracle lady. And the other little boy come running over. And he said, you know what? And she said, what? He said, God did a miracle for me. She said, he did. Tell me about it. He said, well, I was out walking the other day and I was praying. I needed a quarter, and I needed a quarter in the worst way. And I looked down and there was a quarter, and God did a miracle for me. He gave me my quarter. Now, to someone else, that might not be much to be thankful for and to be grateful. But to that little boy, it was a miracle. To the one who's in the hospital and is dying of cancer, that quarter might not seem much. But see where the heart is. Every blessing, small or large, that comes from God, we are to be thankful and grateful for. When we can feel the sunlight on our face, our heart beats, he gives us the strength to get up in the morning. He gives us a job. Whatever we can do and whatever we get accomplished, as it comes from the Lord in his hand, we can be thankful. And we have something to praise him for and be grateful. Grateful language unto God. I can tell you that God's pleasure in that little boy is every bit as great is the one who gets healed from cancer. Because it was the attitude of gratitude that was in the heart. Philippians 4, verse 6 and 7, it says, be careful. The word means be anxious. Don't be anxious, full of anxiety. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God. Verse 7, why be thankful? And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Why be thankful? Because it brings the peace of God to our heart and to our mind. Instead of being filled with dark thoughts and complaints and murmuring and grumbling and contending, God Himself will fill our heart and our minds with peace that, as far as the world is concerned, in whatever situation or circumstance we find ourselves in, is beyond all understanding. How can you be at peace like you are? In our minds have such rest in your spirit, because with acknowledging to God there are things that are going on that I need Him to move in, I was thankful. Hallelujah. Being thankful will bring peace and rest to your heart like nothing else. And it will bring the presence of God on the scene. And in His presence is fullness of joy. It says that He Himself will mount guard over your heart and mind. That means He's right there on the scene with you, where there is no anxiety, there is no turmoil, there is no doubt, there is no darkness. But there is peace that passes all understanding. So when we look at this, we actually see four things as to why we need to be thankful. Because it will deliver us even from our own fault, from captivity, from the devil. Yes, the Lord allowed it. Yes, God called the fish, but you get my point. It was His own fault. But when he was thankful and turned, God delivered him. Number two, the anointing breaks the yoke of bondage. Number three, it brings the peace of God that passes all understanding over our hearts and over our minds. Amen? And fourthly, it is the health of our countenance. Amen? Amen. So I'm going to ask you this morning in conclusion, an attitude of gratitude, or are you going to continue to allow your experience to be troubled waters? In everything, we are to give thanks. And I want you to take your victory press. And I want you to look at the back of it. And as you do, I want you to stand to your feet, because we're going to do a congregational reading this morning. Brother Matt, if you'll bring that over to me, please. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God. In Christ Jesus, we who are born again, children of God, concerning you. Personal responsibility.
My Lord.
So that I can breathe.
Thanks.
Praise the Lord. An attitude of gratitude or troubled waters. My God.
Amen.
Do you need this morning to be delivered like Jonah?
Yes.
Are you in bondage and require the anointing to break the yoke? Well, certainly we all do. But are you in some place? Have you no peace of mind? Well, I will ask this. Can it be traced to not giving thanks? Can it be traced to not being thankful? And have you forgotten that the Word of God clearly tells us, and be ye thankful? Before we read this, I'm going to ask you to close your eyes and bow your head.
Thank you.
I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, because if you don't raise your hand, I'm not going to be able to deal with it. Because at this point in time, I can't handle any spirit of pride. But what I'd like you to do is, as you bow your head and as you stand before the Lord, that you would allow Him to search out your heart.
Yes.
And where you have failed to be thankful, and what you do and what you say and how you act clearly manifests whether you're thankful and grateful or not. But this morning, you are determined to turn from that.
Yes.
And having been buoyed up by the truth of God's word, you are ready once again to be thankful and grateful for all the blessings of redemption. In Jesus' name. And please don't qualify that. Well, I'm grateful for all the blessings of redemption, but I'm not grateful for that husband. I'm not grateful for that wife. And I'm not grateful for this, and I'm not grateful for that. But I urge you to obey the command in everything. Give thanks to God for all the blessings of redemption. Father, in the name of Jesus,
yes,
as we stand before you this morning, we ask you, doing business with you, humbling ourselves before you, realizing that this isn't a religious exercise, that this is in some way not valid, that we somehow have not connected with the God of the universe, and that somehow you're not real, that what's taking place in this little church this morning really doesn't make any difference as far as anything is concerned on the whole face of the earth. Well, I beg to differ. In Jesus' name. The Lord God, that we will, having allowed you to search our hearts, yielding, letting go of all stubbornness and excuses and all willfulness, submit ourselves to thee. And Lord God, we ask you to forgive us where I have not been thankful, Father. I ask you to forgive me. And Lord God, from this moment, I purpose and determine to be thankful and grateful. And so freely, as the pen of a ready writer, to acknowledge that thankfulness. In Jesus' name. Father, we pray and ask by the power of your Spirit that you would, oh God, enable us with a mighty enablement to stand tall and strong in the name of the Lord and the power of his might, and to be thankful. Each one of us, no matter what anybody else does or what they don't do, we determine this morning to be thankful. In Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. And amen. Praise the Lord.